The Old Testament reading comes from Joel chapter 2, beginning with the 12th verse. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, consecrate the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. The Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I am sending to you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied, and I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with the 20th verse. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punishment and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the gospel of the Lord. So tonight, let's start by talking about the juxtaposition between our Old Testament lesson and the gospel lesson, starting in Joel 12 to 13 and then 15 to 17. Return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, consecrate the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the minister of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. That whole passage talks about public repentance and atonement. The whole people, young and old, men and women. You can't get any more public than that. But in Matthew 1, Jesus says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. How do we reconcile these two passages? I think the key is in Jesus' word. In verse 1, he says, before other people in order to be seen by them. And then verse 19 to 21, do not lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So I don't think there's a contradiction either. Joel is calling the whole nation to repent of their sins, not before other men, but before God. And Jesus does not prohibit public repentance, but warns about doing it for others to see. Now, there's nothing wrong with public repentance if done for the right reasons. But even if started in pursuit of the glory to God, Jesus warns of the real possibility of self-promotion, and God will not reward that. So it is better to be pious in private. So what about the ashes on our forehead? That's pretty public when you go out and people will see that and understand, right? But it is important to remember that we do it not for others, but for our inner reflection. And now what about Ash Wednesday? Where does it come from? It's not mentioned in the Bible anywhere. For 10 centuries, Christians have honored Ash Wednesday as the first day of Lent. Early Christians extended the call for prayer and fasting to 40 days to consider Christ's atoning sacrifice for our sins upon the cross. Sunday celebrations and the day Christ arose was and is not part of Lent. So 4 days this week, counting today, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that's 4 days, plus 6 weeks of 6 days before Easter Sunday, 4 plus 36, that's 40 days. So if you've ever added them up, doesn't add up to 40, that's why. In the earliest centuries, Christians who repented of persistent sin had ashes sprinkled on their bodies as a sign of repentance, even as Job repented in dust and ashes in Job chapter 42, verse 6. Around the 10th century, all believers showed their need for repentance by having ashes placed on the forehead in the shape of a cross. Tonight, as we begin the season of Lent, the question that confronts us is, we start a 40-day period of time that is designed to be an intense time of self-reflection and introspection. It reminds us of the time that Jesus spent in the wilderness following his baptism, described in the Gospels as a time of trial and testing. Lent seeks not to strip us down, remove those distractions in our lives, and helps us focus our attention on what really matters in our lives, the very condition of our souls. To help discern this, many use these 40 days as an opportunity to deny themselves something, from chocolate to soda to Facebook. These can be valuable ways to help us identify where we really are placing our time and energy. But Lent is about more than just depriving ourselves of something we enjoy or kicking a bad habit. It is about where our heart is in all of this. The key to any of these practices of, quote, giving things up for Lent, unquote, is to remember that by freeing ourselves from the binds of these other treasures in the world, we believe we might be more open to deepening our relationship with God. Our hearts have to have this intention in order to make it a spiritual practice rather than just a self-improvement tool. This also goes to what Jesus is speaking about. If we aren't careful, we turn these practices into being all about us, how pious and good we are at being Christian. They become just like earthly treasures to us, distracting our hearts from what matters. So today, as we take the ashes onto our foreheads, let us enter Lent with these two truths at the front of our minds. We are human, and we are in need. But Jesus is the Christ. He comes to meet needs and is our saving grace. So may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.